If every time you complain about eating Brussels sprouts, your mother tells you to offer it up, you might be a Catholic. Stick around. Let's talk about it.
Houston, we have a problem.
Habemus Papam.
Podcasting from a parking lot in The Woodlands, Texas, it's The Catholic Hack with Joe McClain.
Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which will be given up for you.
1 Peter 3:15. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope.
Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven.
The Church of the Living God, the pillar and foundation of truth. 1 Timothy 3:15.
Do this in memory of me.
Hey Joe, how you doing? This is Adam the Catholic from the Theotokos podcast. Just want to ask you something real quick. What'd you think of the Super Bowl?
I
guess I'm not supposed to ask that. Do you like decaf or regular?
Regular.
Coke or Pepsi? Oh, I remember what I wanted to ask you. So what do you get when you have a guy that has no radio experience, gets nervous when he gets behind the mic, but a great love for the Catholic Church? You get the Theotokos podcast, the podcast about Mary, the Mother of God.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate that. Welcome back to the Catholic Hack. I'm Joe McClain. This is episode number 41, and today we're going to talk about offering it up. I'm taking a break from the interviews this time around. I'm so backed up. I can't tell you how busy it has been. It has been absolutely crazy. Instead of podcasting from a parking lot today, I am podcasting from a Catholic bookstore in the Woodlands, Texas. It's my new office here at Fullness of Truth, and I cannot tell you how excited I am about having the opportunity to work here. So you're going to hear the acoustics in the background probably do not sound the same, the squeaking of my chair, etc., but you know what? I finally am trying to find 5 minutes in my week to be able to get this out. It has been absolutely crazy. I have been working double duty, actually. I've been going in the early mornings into my other job, the job that I just left, to help them get transitioned with the new staff, etc. And then coming here and working all day and trying to sort out networking problems, trying to learn my way around a couple of accounting packages. So it's been a busy, busy time. And I'm thankful to have an opportunity here to podcast. I've recorded Greg and Jennifer Willits. I have an interview lined up already in the can, ready to be put out from them. I have interviewed Jim Burnham. He's a Catholic apologist on Catholic Answers Live. He's also the co-author of the Basic Apologetics Workbooks. These are great materials. So that's coming. Saturday, I woke up early and spent 2 hours on the phone with Tarek Saab, who he will be actually putting out his book, Gut Check, which was a great book. I got to read it. It was fantastic. I highly recommend it. Tarek and I had a great conversation on Saturday. I was nitpicking every single detail. I didn't let him get off the phone. So I'm going to be excited to share that with you. I'll probably break that up into at least 3, maybe even 4 shows. So I have a tremendous amount of material. Tonight, I'll be interviewing Deborah Burke, who is a Catholic mom and author of children's books. So I'll be interviewing her tonight. Next week, I'll be interviewing Jeff or Cavins. No, take that back. Not next week. This week, I'll be interviewing Jeff Cavins from the Great Adventure Bible Study Series. Jeff Cavins did a wonderful show with Dr. Scott Hahn back in the 90s, going through salvation history on EWTN, and I was hooked on his work at that point, and I'm very much excited to talk to him about his conversion story. He has a fascinating, actually it's a reversion, not even a conversion, it's a reversion story, so I'll be excited to share that with you as well. So we have a lot of material. Oh, by the way, Scott Hahn's wife, Miss Kimberly Hahn, who is also an author, an apologist. She is a wonderful Catholic who is very inspiring. You know, big Catholic family, doing a lot of great work in ministry, written some excellent Catholic books. My wife and I have used Kimberly Hahn's books personally in our ministry with engaged couples, and she will be on the podcast. I'm finalizing that date now. I'm expecting that to be towards the end of February, so stay tuned for those details. Well, we're going to continue to break the bread this Lent with Dr. Scott Hahn, my favorite theologian, my favorite Catholic author of all time, and we're going to allow Dr. Hahn to open up the Word of God, to break that bread for us, to help and enlighten us during this Lenten period on the weekly readings. So without further ado, let's break the bread with Dr. Scott Hahn.
In this Sunday's readings, we see what God has promised, established, and proven over centuries of human history. In the biblical evidence, we discern God's design from before time began. It's the design of your life and mine, especially in the season of Lent. Find out more next on Breaking the Bread. This week's gospel portrays Jesus as a new and greater Moses. Moses took three companions up a mountain and on the seventh day was overshadowed by the shining cloud of God's presence. He too spoke with God, and his face and clothing were made radiant in the encounter. But in the Lenten liturgy, the church wants us to look back past Moses. Indeed, we are asked to contemplate what this week's epistle calls God's design from before time began. With his promises to Abram in our first reading, God formed the people through whom he would reveal himself and bestow his blessings on all the human family. God later elevated these promises to eternal covenants and changed Abram's name to Abraham, promising that he would be father of a host of nations. In remembrance of his covenant with Abraham, he raised up Moses and later swore an everlasting kingdom covenant to David's sons. In Jesus' transfiguration today, he is revealed as the one through whom God fulfills his divine plan from of old. Not only a new Moses, Jesus is also the beloved son promised to Abraham and again to David, the son of Abraham, the son of David. Moses foretold a prophet like him to whom Israel would listen, and Isaiah foretold an anointed servant in whom God would be well pleased. Jesus is this prophet and this servant, as the voice on the mountain tells us today. By faith, we have been made children of the covenant with Abraham. God calls us to a holy life, to follow his son, to the heavenly homeland that he has promised. We know, as we sing in this week's psalm, that we who hope in him will be delivered from death. So like our father in faith, Abraham, we go forth as the Lord directs us. Listen to him. This is Scott Hahn for Breaking the Bread.
Breaking the Bread is a production of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. If you'd like to receive written copies of Dr. Hahn's reflections on the Sunday Mass readings, you can contact us by email at staff@salvationhistory.com or call us at 740-264-9535. That's 740-264-9535.
You know, this Lent has already turned out to be, you know, I feel a lot like, you know, when you make New Year's resolutions, you say, I'm going to do this, and then it turns around and, you know, the new year comes and goes and you haven't done what you said you're going to do. That's kind of how this Lent's going so far. I had some grand ideas in my mind and so far I haven't been able to really bring those to fruition. You know, last year was a very powerful Lent for me. I offered up some very specific sacrifices. I did some very specific things. And last year, I went through some very almost troubling spiritual battles. And I was very fortunate. I went on a retreat at the beginning of Lent. And it was an excellent men's retreat with our parish. And God, you know, brought me into connection with a gentleman who was struggling. He was having to separate from his current employer, and He was uncertain of the future, and he was quite clearly very stressed out about it. And it was very providential that he and I would meet on the last day. It was the Sunday morning, just before Mass. We were sitting at breakfast, and we sat down, and I had enjoyed that retreat all weekend long. I had some fantastic conversations with some of the other guys, and we stayed up late talking about the Bible and apologetics and salvation history and theology, and I was like a kid in a candy store. But on that Sunday, when I got to meet this gentleman, you know, I really felt God put it on my heart. I needed to sacrifice for this guy. I needed to offer up some sacrifices. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. You know, we have to talk about what Catholics believe when we talk about offering it up. Where do we get this whole we have to be sacrificial thing from the Bible or from our theology? You know, there's a lot of good Protestants out there who miss this idea completely. And so I felt it was important today to discuss that. You know, I've got, again, so much material to share with you with interviews and everything else, but I really felt like I needed to talk about this. So I thought we'd do that today and take a break from the interviews for at least one podcast, and I'll get right back to them after this. But, you know, I'm very much looking forward to doing the Bible studies and the apologetics topics and everything else. So I hope you'll bear with me, and I hope you'll enjoy this conversation. But until then, we've got to roll up our sleeves, and we've got to dive deep. We've got to get into the truth about offering it up.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This school, when I sit, even just a little bit, I get hit with the power that made the veil in the temple split. When I submit, fall on the floor and adore. Can't get enough, got to come back for some more.
Hey, we've got a problem here.
Sinner, every human hypocrite can benefit in this school. Repent and commit.
Roger that.
As the incense rises up in adoration of the throne, something happens to my wounded heart from all the love revealed and shown. Bright light, Shekinah comes to my aid to persist, to change and sustain the way I think it exists, to feel the bliss because my name is in the book of life's list. That's what happens when you sit in the school of the Eucharist.
Mr. Hammond, take her down. Make your depth 150 feet, 10 degree down bubble.
150 feet, 10 degree down bubble. Aye, sir.
Dive, dive, dive.
Create for me a clean heart, O God. Let me be like you in all my ways. Give me your strength. Teach me your song. Shelter me in the shadow of your wings. For we are your righteousness. If we've died to ourselves and lived through your death, then we shall be born again to be blessed in your love.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, today we're going to talk about offering it up, like I said. You know, I think too many times us Christians, especially Catholics, miss some very wonderful opportunities at spiritual gain by offering up sacrifice. I know I can speak for myself clearly here that I need to know more about this than I need to share with you, because I have yet to really get on board with this. I've experienced this and I know better, but I still need to do it, and that's the hard part. You know, let's start with the Catechism of the Catholic Church. In paragraph 2015, it says, "The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. There is no holiness without renunciation and spiritual battle. Spiritual progress entails the ascesis and mortification that gradually lead to living in the peace and joy of the Beatitudes." That's really deep and profound. Just a couple of sentences there. The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. You see, here in Houston, Texas, we have a handful of health and wealth gospel preachers. They'll hold the Bible up and say, God wants you to be happy. You know, God tells you he wants you to be happy. You know, you deserve that silk suit, that mansion, that sports car. You know, that's directly in contradiction to what Scripture really tells you, though. Is it a sin to have wealth? No, absolutely not. It's a sin to love money more than God. It's disordered to put your emphasis on possessions. But God certainly grants certain people possessions for a reason. To use those possessions for his glory. To benefit mankind. So there is a absolute good purpose in obtaining wealth. But it's all in the context. You have to keep it in context. To have possessions simply for possession's sake is disordered and not correct. But is that where we find holiness? No, the Catechism makes it very clear. The way of perfection passes by way of the cross. You know, Jesus tells us in the Gospel, take up your cross and follow me. We're marching on Calvary. We're taking Calvary, being led by a warrior king, and we are his army. We're marching on the hill. There is no holiness, the paragraph says, without renunciation and spiritual battle. So what does it mean to be holy? What does it mean to go through these spiritual battles? You know, St. Teresa of Lisieux, she asked for permission to become, you know, a victim soul. We see this in so many of the lives of the saints. Our Blessed Lady, many times and many apparitions throughout history. I once read a book called God Sent. It was a historical account of all the apparitions through time of our Blessed Lady. You know what? It was fantastic. It really was life-changing. You could hear her message over and over and over again, leading us to her son, begging us to offer up sacrifice for one another, to pray for those souls that nobody else is praying for. And it was so almost depressing to come to realize there are so many people in this world that no one even cares enough about to pray for, and how we should be praying for these people, people we never will ever know until we are joined with them in the afterlife. You know, in St. John's Gospel, there are so many good references for this topic. In John chapter 13, verse 12, it says, "So when he had washed their feet and put his garments back on and reclined at table again, he said to them, 'Do you realize what I have done for you?'" Verse 13, "You call me teacher and master, and rightly so, for indeed I am." Verse 14, "If I, therefore, the master and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. I have given you a model to follow, so that as I have done for you, you should also do." This is very plain, very clear. Jesus is the example, and he came to do very specific things, not because he himself needed it or was for his own sake, but for ours. This is clearly telling us that he is setting the example, showing us the way, and we're expected to do. If he can wash the dirtiest part of the body, then so should we. If he can wash the feet of us sinners, then can't we wash the feet of other sinners? If he can sacrifice, shouldn't we? But you know, some Protestants might hear this and say, well, you know, hey, there is one mediator between God and man. That's the man Christ Jesus. There is one sacrifice. That's Jesus. And when Jesus died on the cross, that was it. He said it was finished. Tetelestai. I stole that from Scott, huh? Tetelestai. It is finished. Yes, we agree, it is finished. But Jesus died on the cross so that we might know holiness, so that we have a shot at heaven. But we have to participate with his sacrifice. We're not adding to it, we're not getting ourselves to heaven. No, he paid the price. But because he's paid the price, we've now been joined to the family. And if we're family members, then we work for the family. We take care of the family. Because we love our God and our Father, we are willing to do these things. John chapter 13, again, verse 34. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. This is the hard part for me because... Thank you.
SQPN, the best in Catholic podcasting.